The Guardian.
You're more than your day job. You know that. If you're interested in starting your own side gig, then check out the Side Hustle series from Guardian Labs and theguardian.com/sidehustle. Helpful videos, articles, and a podcast, all brought to you by Squarespace. When you're ready to build your website for your side hustle, head to squarespace.com. Their sites look professionally designed, regardless of skill level, no coding required. You build your website with these intuitive, easy-to-use tools. And you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today. Go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
It's The Daily, the Guardian film team's daily-ish roundup of film news and reviews. I'm Henry Barnes, joining me, Catherine Short. Catherine, there's a Little House on the Prairie remake being made, but who would you get to play the Little House on the Prairie?
Queen Latifah?
Or Andy Serkis, maybe.
Andy Serkis, good at mocap. Or who else looks... Hugh Laurie, because he was in House.
House, perfect. To the news, Tony Tarantino, father of Quentin, has said that he'll give 10% of the profits of his upcoming indie film, Prism, to law enforcement. News of Tarantino Sr.'s planned donation arrives a few months after QT joined an anti-police violence protest. Tony, a Queens native with family ties to the NYPD, said Quentin's ignorance of law enforcement had infuriated him. QT is yet to comment. Catherine, Dad...
I'm with Dad, actually. I would be Mom with QT. Although I like the fact we're calling him QT. That a lot. I suppose that's the joke of calling him QT.
I think Uma calls him that.
QT.
I'm very familiar with all of them.
Yeah. But they're together, aren't they? He and Uma. Or they were together for a bit. Whatevs. I can see where Tony is coming from. And I mean, you say Dad, but I mean, as a dad, you would know that sometimes your child can do things which embarrass you.
They do act out a bit.
And you have to publicly go on record. I mean, when Otto disses the pigs, what do you do?
I'm going to give 10% of my next paycheck to the police in defence of them.
I can take care of that for you if you want.
Next to the Sundance Film Festival, where the films keep a rolling and the deals keep being made. Our boys Lanre Bacare and Nigel Smith are up there in Utah watching all sorts of indie flim-flam, plus the odd keeper. Here's me speaking to Lanre about his Best of the Fest so far. Lanre, hello. Last time we spoke, you had a go at me after the call because we didn't talk about the sludge. So fill us in on the sludge.
The sludge. Well, the sludge actually subsided now, and because the temperature's dropped, it's turned into ice. So I actually kind of missed the sludge, because now I'm falling over all over the place rather than complaining about getting some sludge on my boots.
Feel nostalgic for the sludge.
Good old sludge days.
You also mentioned that you were looking forward to Birth of a Nation, which you've now seen. Was it any good?
Yeah, so I saw it yesterday. The experience of seeing it was absolutely incredible. It was probably the hottest ticket in town yesterday, and possibly for the whole of the festival. Like, the queues are massive. The entourage for the film was like 150 strong. It was absolutely bonkers. There was a standing ovation before the film even started, when Nate Parker came out and gave a little speech about the film. So I was super excited. I was like revved up. This is going to be absolutely amazing. The film itself was a bit of a letdown. It just felt really kind of thin. The only character who was really well written was Nat Turner, which isn't that surprising because he's the person who led the slave revolt. But the other characters around him just... there was hardly anything there. So when things started escalating and things were kicking off and things started happening to people, you were a little bit like, who's that guy? And where's she come from? And like, what's going on here? And also the kind of, the slave owners were just these really kind of cartoonish babbies. And perhaps it's not the best thing to compare it to 12 Years a Slave, but if you compare them to Michael Fassbender, who's just like this searing, horrific character on the screen. He just didn't have the same kind of cut through. But yeah, people absolutely loved it. And the standing ovation at the end went on for a night. It went past 5 minutes. It was kind of bonkers. So I think a lot of people were into it. They kind of loved the experience. But for me, and I think for a few others, it was a bit of a letdown.
Another film that came to the festival with a lot of anticipation was Kenneth Lonergan's new one, which is Manchester by the Sea. And that was snapped up by Amazon, I think, for $10 million early on in the festival. What did you make of that one?
Well, there's a lot of hype around that. I'd say like that and Christina, the two buzziest things that people are really talking about. You hear people talking about them all over the place. Like if you're sat in the theatre waiting for something to start and someone's talking about a film, they're probably going to be talking about one of those two. And for me, Manchester by the Sea was was good and I enjoyed it, but I wasn't completely blown away by other people. You know, they were like, oh, Casey Affleck's performance is absolutely unreal. Like, he's definitely going to win an Oscar. For me, it just kind of went round in circles. And it was also like two separate films. So you've got Casey Affleck, who goes through this horrific thing, which I won't say what it is, but it's basically the worst thing that can happen to a person. It completely changes his life. It turns him into this kind of taciturn janitor who doesn't engage with people. And then he's forced to look after his nephew, who's played by Lucas Hedges, who's brilliant in it. And that part of the story is like this kind of funny little comedy, like a bit of a black comedy where he's just cracking jokes about wanting to kind of have sex with multiple girls in his class. But Casey Affleck sat there with the world, weight of the world on his shoulders for obvious reasons. And for me, the two things didn't really mesh together. It just felt really odd and kind of misshapen. But again, I think I'm probably the only person in Park City who didn't think it was amazing. So maybe I'm just wrong and heartless.
It's all right to be an outlier, Lamry. Don't worry about it. do you want to talk about Wiener?
Wiener, always up for talking about Wiener, Henry. You know me well. Yeah, Wiener was amazing. That's probably the best thing I've seen so far. It's a documentary about Anthony Wiener, the disgraced New York politician who was caught taking pictures of his genitalia not once but twice. The access that the filmmakers have got to him was incredible. It was almost unbelievable, because what happens is that he starts his mayoral campaign when he tries to make this big comeback. It's a little bit like the Alex Gibney Lance Armstrong film where he's there when it all goes wrong. Except Wiener just lets him stay in the room. So things are going horrifically. He's having a having these big confrontations with his wife, Huma Abedin, who's actually one of Hillary Clinton's top aides. Her life is being like thrown down the toilet. She's getting all kinds of pressure to kind of get away from him, from Hillary Clinton. And they're just there in the room with him. And Wiener just doesn't have the kind of self-awareness to be like, you need to step away now. The only time he even questions the cameras being there is when he makes funny jokes about flying the walls, not being able to talk. And you just feel like you just want to grab him and say, get rid of these guys, because this makes you look absolutely insane.
Maybe he feels like he's got nothing left to lose at that point.
Well, his character is the most interesting thing about the film, because he's this really kind of narcissistic guy who just doesn't have... It's like there's something missing. He just doesn't get it. Like, he goes on MSNBC to defend himself, and he just doesn't think he's really done anything wrong or he needs to back down at all. But there's something about that which is quite likeable. And it's very American. Like, the kind of, I'm just going to carry on with it anyway, and I'm never going to quit, and I'm a New Yorker. There is something kind of appealing about it. And it's a fantastic watch. I really, really recommend it.
All right, Lanry Bacaray, way up there in Park City, Utah. Thanks very much for talking to us, and we'll see you soon.
Henry, a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Past me talking to Lanry Bacaray there. Catherine, one that Lanry didn't mention is Swiss Army Man, which is Daniel Radcliffe as a flatulent corpse that Paul Dano as a castaway then uses, I believe he uses his erection to navigate a path to salvation. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think first of all he uses sort of jet ski.
Yeah.
That's the idea. And
presses on the belly to make
press on the belly. Yeah. And I think there's a graphic scene of Radcliffe's bum expelling air, which they used a special funnel to create. The magic of special effects wasn't enough there. And then, yes, I think the corpse revives, and after Paul Dano explains to him about girls, he gets endless hard-ons, which, yeah, Dano uses as a sort of DIY compass.
Like an oar or a compass?
More of a compass or right. A sort of sundial.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like a must-see.
It does sound like a must-see, doesn't it? People have walked out. But then, you know, as the shortcut we ran the other day said, a lot of people always walk out of films in festivals. So that's nothing to write home about. It sounds rather extraordinary, doesn't it? I don't know how we didn't know about this film before. And things like Birth of a Nation as well, this big Sundance, which sold for $17.5 million, which is a rather extraordinary amount. I didn't know about it before Sundance. It is exciting, Sundance. Maybe it's because we're not there, and so we haven't really studied the lineup in such depth. But all these very exciting films coming out of it. The new Ira Sachs, which has got 5 stars. Loads of must-sees, you know, Love and Friendship and Certain Women and what's the other one with the women in it?
Oh, there's loads of films.
There are loads of films with women in it. Yeah.
That's the whole point. Robert Redford has said the festival's got too big and that it's clogging up Park City. But I think the Birth of the Nation sales thing in particular was really interesting, given the Oscars row.
Yeah.
Is that you wonder if part of their thinking that it broke the sales record at Sundance is that they'll hopefully have a black cast that can be nominated for Oscars next year, or am I being too cynical about it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that Sundance is always so, you know, diverse. So, you know, I don't think one can necessarily go with it. I mean, Fruitvale Station won jury and audience award there the other year. So it's always been a little bit, you know, by definition, a bit more kind of left field. But also, if Robert Redford thinks that Sundance has got too big, he's uniquely placed to do something about that, I'd hazard. So it's sort of in his court, isn't it?
And finally, a plug for an exclusive clip we have coming up on the site later today. It's a new trailer for Son of Saul, Laszlo Niemiec's Oscar-nominated Holocaust drama, which is set in the gas chambers at Auschwitz. Catherine, we first saw this in Cannes last May, and it's amazing how it stayed with you, isn't it?
It is, and I mean, the trailer, great as it is, it sort of doesn't quite, you know, it's one of those films that you really, it's like Boyhood or something like that. Yeah. The trailer really doesn't quite convey what's going on here, or even The Revenant, you know, where it's all about being on the big screen. Son of Saul, it's really about being immersed. And I hope it's not about that initial shock one got in Cannes of realising what was happening, where this was set, what he was doing with fuzzing out the sides of the frame. You just don't get that at all from the trailer. But it's hard to know what else you could do. It might have been an option really for a sort of slow trailer, one of this, you know, like the most recent Hail Caesar trailer, which was just the scene of Ralph Fiennes being very funny. Just one scene might have worked better perhaps, or just like with Annalisa, they do a lot of quotes from critics saying how amazing it is and why it's so amazing. I don't know, there must be a reason why they haven't done that and they know more about it than I would, but I mean, it is a fantastic film.
The plot of the film is about a Jewish worker in Auschwitz who's looking for a rabbi in order to bury a boy that he's found in the gas chambers. And it sounds difficult to describe it this way, but to me it seems like a Holocaust thriller, and that's why I liked it so much. There is an element of tension and pace and excitement to it, even though it's quite so bleak and horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of 24 hours, isn't it? It's 24 hours in Auschwitz.
Without Kiefer Sutherland.
I mean, it's Sonderkommando, so it's a Jewish guy who's working in the gas chambers, which is very difficult, obviously, for a difficult job. So he gets sort of negligible privileges, but also, of course, all those people knew that they would be killed themselves before too long. He finds a boy who may or may not be his son and wants to give him a proper Jewish burial, which seems a sort of almost a perverse thing to need to do in this circumstance. And it's about his quest to find a rabbi to do that. But it's really sort of, it sounds absolutely crass, as almost everything one says about this film does, but it's like a kind of virtual reality being at Auschwitz to some extent. What he does with the camera work and how you're always in the lead actor's sort of face with it. It is closer to being there than film has ever done before.
And Son of Saul is in UK cinemas on the 21st of April. That's it for today. We're off to shoot the film show in which Catherine is going to say that Dirty Grandpa is actually kind of amazing. That'll be on the site tomorrow afternoon. But on the site later today, we have Peter Bradshaw enduring the long Sunday afternoon slump of the Dad's Army film, video interviews with Michael Keaton and Mark Ruffalo for Spotlight, and plenty more reviews from Sundance. Follow us on Twitter, be kind to us on Facebook, subscribe to the dailies on iTunes. Ben and Catherine are back tomorrow. In the meantime, here's wisdom from Little House on the Prairie's Nellie Olson. Half the time, you don't even smell like a girl. You're either sweaty or you stink of fish. Bye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.